Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet. And I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases, from M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, producer Emmanuel here. This week's episode will involve a lot of vulnerable sharing of trash-adjacent opinions, so it's important that we cultivate a safe space. As Josh mentioned in a previous episode, I'm kind of a witch, and I thought we could do that by diving into a sound bath together to cleanse away all of our judgy-ass vibes. You know you got them. They need to go. But first, I need to set the mood. Let me light some of these Erykah Badu vagina-scented candles real quick. Here we go. Inhale all of that in with me. That's a new smell for me. Anyway, now allow all of these royalty-free sounds to calm that part of you that likes subtweeting or pointing and laughing at people. You know, that part of your brain that was really active in middle school. Yeah, that girl. Poof. Be gone.
Ooh, I think I actually felt that. I feel kind and lighter.
Cultivate stillness in this moment. Be Beyonce in the elevator.
I would like the record to show that that was Emmanuel, not me.
It also was not me either, Tracy Clayton. That was not me.
Here's a magic spell inspired by our faves from The Craft to take us out. I bind you, back issue listener, from bringing hateration into the dancery.
Bind you by the power of Mary J. Blige's boot!
You know it's true magic if there's an echo. I don't make the rules. Okay, now that my spell is cast, it's time to get this episode percolating. Yep, that was another Mary J. shout out, because she deserves. I think we can all agree.
All right. We let you have your little witch moment, Sabrina.
Right, this is cute and everything, but we got a show to do.
Take it away, Josh and Tracy. Happy autumn equinox, happy early Libra season. We're the best. Witchy Woo Woo Spice, signing off. Bye-bye.
Beyonce, you look like Luther Vandross.
Oh, but make it fashion.
But you ain't heard that from me.
Fierce.
Calm. Can't stop.
You see, when you do clownery, the clown comes back to bite.
I ain't gonna sleep because of y'all.
It's Britney, bitch.
Y'all not gonna get we no sleep because of me.
Tiffany. But I ain't
wanna
gossip.
I don't
want to hear
that.
Who said that?
Welcome to Back Issue,
a weekly podcast that revisits formative moments in pop culture that we still think about.
This week, opinions you're scared to tell your friends.
Can I confess an opinion right now?
Of course.
Casseroles are good and they are not just white people food, period.
Woo, girl, you're on one. Let's just get into it.
Let's do it then. I'm not scared of you.
Well, sometimes you're ahead of your time and you don't know it till 17 years later.
Wait a minute.
I have something to say.
Okay, all right.
For the first 5 or 6 or 7 years of my career, they made me wear a top up to here and things like this. And I want to show my body in a dress. I'm going to show it.
Do you know J-Lo at this point?
No. The audience member said it. No matter what happens with this movie, it's really helped me grow. The whole process of acting has helped me grow.
Each week, we'll go back into the past and revisit unforgettable moments we all think we remember.
And learn what they can teach us about where we are right now.
I'm actor and director Tracy Clayton.
And I'm producer and star Josh Quinn.
Oh, so you the star? Was there a memo? That's fine.
So Tracy, is this a safe space?
I think so, but every time you ask if this is a safe space, I question it.
Why?
I don't know, because you make me nervous. What are you about to say?
I just want to say, without judgment, because I can feel the judgment in your eyes right now. I haven't even said nothing yet.
Okay, my eyes are closed, so you can't feel the judgment. You're welcome.
Okay. I gotta get this off my chest. Like, I feel like there's a lot of things that I want to get off my chest.
Your spirit does feel really, really heavy. I think we need, like, a confessional episode. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we should have, like, an exorcism of all the pop cultural moments that we want to keep to ourselves, that we're afraid to share with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know who I think we should talk to about unpopular pop culture opinions?
Meghan McCain?
You know what?
What?
I quit.
Okay. Joe Budden.
No.
Okay, well, since my ideas are so bad,
they are.
Who should we talk to?
We should talk to someone we actually like, Tracy.
Oh, well, I didn't know that was an option. You should have put that in the small print.
We should talk to Ira Madison III. You know he's got really strong opinions.
Oh, I love Ira.
He talks about his strong opinions on the internet all the time.
Right, okay. All right, so your idea was better than mine. Fine. But don't try to distract the masses and not tell us what this big, huge exorcism level opinion is. What is your bad opinion?
I love the movie Glitter. I just want other people to like acknowledge how great of a work it is.
I see. Okay. Well, I hear you.
I feel like you're trying really hard not to be judgmental, but I hear it in your tone.
Like, I'm going to get on the phone with my girlfriend after the appointment. Like, girl, I had somebody in this office today. Tell me out.
This client that I had today was wild.
Tell me out, Glitter's a good movie. Can you believe?
Okay, I'm not saying that it should have been a contender for, like, Oscar Picture of the Year.
That's good that that's not what you're saying.
But it did not deserve to be universally panned. That I stand by.
It really sounds like the whole world says that this movie is terrible. I think maybe I've never heard anybody say anything positive about the movie but you.
I mean, I'm often out there by myself being right.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that's why.
But there are reasons for that. Tell me some of your opinions on Glitter, though.
I mean, it's a movie.
Accurate.
It's not good. It's not a great thing that happened. It's just kind of like a blip on the...
But wait, have you seen it?
No, and I still know it's bad. That's how bad it is.
Okay, you know what? We're correcting this right now.
Wait.
I'm forcing you to watch this movie. Let's go.
I'm an adult. You can't force me to do nothing.
Okay, do you want to watch the movie?
Okay. Do I want to? No. Will I? Yes.
Okay.
2 hours later.
What did you think?
I did not die.
That's
so
true.
My expectation has been proven wrong.
Set the bar high.
Survived. You know what? I try to set realistic like goals for myself. I've been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
No, but like in all seriousness, it honestly was not the doo-doo fire that I was expecting.
Oh,
it really, really was not. It was cute. It was very, very cute. It was cute in a way that I wasn't expecting. Mariah's acting was good. And just like listening to everybody be like, oh, the movie's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. But like, I guess I thought the acting was just going to be like me. Like it was me in the movie. But it wasn't. It's just like it's a movie made in 2001 with very young Mariah Carey with stars in her eyes. And it's cute. I get the appeal. I do get the appeal.
It just means so much to me because of where I was at that point. I was probably like 12 or 13.
Aww.
I was at the age where I was asking for CDs for Christmas.
Right.
I watched no television except TRL and music videos.
Uh-huh.
And to have one of your favorite musicians of all time release a movie that was semi-autobiographical, fake about her life, sent me over the moon.
So I love this picture, this snapshot of your life.
I can tell you exactly what I was doing on the other side of the world. This is 2001, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I am a freshman in college. I'm getting radicalized and reading about Black Panthers and listening to all of like the Black Star and the most depth that I can find. Mm. So glitter was not exactly in the universe that I was constructing for myself.
Yeah, for sure.
So that makes sense.
But what I think is even more important than where you were and where I was when glitter came out is where Mariah was. Get ready to do your math.
Here is how you can make a whole movie called Glitter and nobody know it.
So, first of all, Glitter is kind of like a dramatic reimagining of Mariah's life. You know the movie 8 Mile?
Yes.
By that musician that I'm not going to say his name.
The one who likes spaghetti a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. His mom is spaghetti.
Him.
In fact, one of my favorite moments is on Watch What Happens Live on Bravo when Mariah refuses to say his name. Andy Cohen, the host of the show, asks her to say 3 nice things about, well, he'll say his name.
Say 3 nice things about Eminem.
They come in a package that you can carry wherever you go. Everybody loves them around the world. And they're tasty. Peanut, and you can have the regular kind.
Very good. Oh my God, I love it.
I love it.
I love it too. It's only certain people that we allow to get to that level of divadom.
Yeah.
She wasn't always there. She always tells the story of being like a biracial girl that grew up in a very rough household in Long Island. Neither here nor there. And her mom was this white opera singer and her dad was Black and Venezuelan. So people didn't know what to really make of her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she has this song that the Lambs, which is her hive, the Lamely.
The Sweetie Babies.
They reference it all the time about this experience of not being able to really fit into either identity, called Outside. You'll always be somewhere on me, outside. It's from the Butterfly album, and it's one of my favorite Mariah albums of all time. So, zoom forward. She goes to high school. They call her Mirage because she's never there. Not everybody knows that.
Oh, wait. I love it.
This is where Tommy Mottola comes into the picture, right?
Dun, dun, dun.
Literally that. So this story is told like 100,000 times, but the gist is, according to Cosmopolitan in 2019, as a teen, Mariah was waitressing in the city, trying to make ends meet, and she put a demo tape together, and she managed to get it in the hands of Sony boss Tommy Mottola, who was like, Clive Davis, Quincy Jones. Think of the most important, influential men in the record industry. He's one of them.
The king of all the suits.
He had worked with Michael Jackson, Celine Dion, and he looked at Mariah, looked at her music, and took her under his wing. But it got romantic.
Wasn't there an age difference? I mean,
like,
you know,
20
what?
Years.
I'm not trying to shade nothing to nobody, but given the power dynamics and the work thing, so I'm gonna say.
There's a lot of dynamics going on, you know? But they got married, and she released her first album in 1991. But her image wasn't an image that she wanted to portray. She always says that they dressed her up to here and down to here. Again, Tommy Mottola is one of the most powerful men in the music industry.
Yeah.
This fact will come back.
Okay.
But after they got divorced, she came to call the house that they lived in, this huge mansion, she called it Sing Sing, like the prison in New York.
Yikes.
Because she felt like that's all she was able to do. Mm-hmm. She wasn't able to be herself. She wanted to put out a lot of records that had hip hop in it. But at the beginning of her career, people thought she was white.
Yeah, I thought she was for a really long time.
And the record label really, really profited off of that. And they really wanted to protect that image from crossing over into hip hop, you know?
Right.
And so she felt like they were clipping her wings and they felt like they were making their money. And so when they got divorced, She broke free. She escaped their mansion figuratively in the honey video and jumped into the pool.
Oh my God, wait. She did. I remember that mansion.
Right? She ran off the balcony, jumped into the pool, came out like a Bond girl. Everybody was like, oh my God. But it also, like, remember what she was wearing. She was wearing a bathing suit. It's very different from the imaging that she had during Vision of Love when she's wearing a ball gown.
She's like a songstress.
A songstress, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When she left Tommy Mottola, she signed a new $80 million record contract with Virgin Records.
You know what? $80 million is a lot of money.
And Glitter was the first album off this new contract where she was going to establish herself on her own without the help of Tommy Mottola.
$80 million worth of pressure. Mm. And your first act is this movie called Glitter.
Not to mention when it came out. Do you know when Glitter, the movie, was released?
I just know the year was 2001.
Well, the soundtrack for the movie came out September 11th, 2001.
Ah, shit.
See any issues with the rollout?
I could see how there might have been a distraction happening when you're trying to promote a movie and, like, music. That sucks. And, like, didn't need to be said, but it's not her fault.
It's not her fault at all. There's this iconic picture that floats around the internet of the movie poster of Glitter on a New York subway stop. And you literally can see the tower smoking.
What?
Behind it.
Damn, Mariah. Damn.
And if you look at the movie sales for that week, for the following time after September 11th, box office sales in general, according to Box Office Mojo, went down 30%.
She have a chance. Aww.
At all.
Aww.
She was under a lot of stress at the time. There was that TRL incident where she showed up unexpected. And
wait, what?
J-Lo, and that was I'm Real,
love
the remix.
Love a boy,
with...
come on and love me.
The hell's that?
Give me more.
What?
She's got an ice cream cart.
Right.
And she does a striptease on TRL, unexpected. Carson Daly is like, what the hell is going on?
What?
I don't know. What are you doing here is the question.
I'm here. Can you hold this?
Yeah, sure.
I brought you a present. It's this shirt.
What are you doing? Mariah Carey is stripping on TRL right now.
But it brought up all these really messy, unnecessary questions about Mariah's mental health. And the thing about speculating about someone's mental health when they're in the public eye is, first of all, you don't know.
Ever.
But also, a lot of mental health issues are triggered by stress.
Hello.
Do you think that people speculating about your mental health might be stressful?
I think it may. I think it may be, especially when your image is so tightly controlled and what you can and can't say. Like, you can't just, like, open your mouth and speak. It has to be run past, like, all of your PR team and your handlers and shit. I'm sure that would be kind of stressful.
You know? But that's just to give you a little bit of the context around the film as to why people might have received it or not received it at all. I think it got overshadowed by the drama of Mariah's life, her splitting from Tommy Mottola, critics being like, is she going to be able to go on because now she's on her own? People speculating about her mental health, it coming out around 9/11. Mm. People also just have this tendency to tear down people who are at the top of their game.
Mm. I will say, I would like to, since this is a confessional episode, let me just say a couple things, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I may have been a little harsh when it came to Glitter. There's clearly a lot of context that I did not have, was not privy to, could have Googled, but didn't because I didn't understand. You know what I'm saying? There's all that. Also, I spent a whole lot of time talking shit about a movie that I've never seen before, which, I mean, if we've met, it's not rare. I mean, it's kind of just I talk shit about about movies I've never seen all the time. But this has touched me. Like, it really has. It really has touched me because, like, it makes me think about just, like, who, Mr. Hamilton himself, who lives, who dies, who tells your story.
Who tells your story.
Don't get us sued. Can we clear that? Legal? Can we do it? And, like, somebody told the story of Glitter to be, it's a bad movie, it's a shitty movie that never should have been made, and if you like it, you're done for liking it. So, I would like to do a little bit of atoning, and since I've said so much shit about this movie, now that I have seen it, can I say some nice things about it? Is that okay?
Let's do it!
I think that my favorite thing about the movie is just seeing Mariah Carey at that point in her career. You know what I mean? Because, like, talking about, like, who tells your story, like, who builds the reputations that, like, these performers have, right? Like the idea of the diva and like the diva who is just so eccentric and she just has too much money, darling, and she just needs everything her way and she's just put in so much time and how dare you?
We don't believe in years, darling. We only believe in anniversaries.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right now, today, as we are having this conversation, that's the image of Mariah Carey that is conjured when people say the name Mariah Carey, right?
I think that's fair, though, because, like, I think she plays with it, like, you know?
She does, which, I mean, to me, has always felt like subversion, you know what I mean? Like, ha-ha, here's what you think of me. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me give you something to, like, look at and talk mm-hmm. about and, like, whatever. So there's that. But also, I think that sometimes we forget that, like, there are human beings and, like, people underneath these costumes that are like foisted?
Put upon.
Yes, that way. Like these these costumes that are like put upon people, like seeing Mariah Carey, it was just so fun for me. Mm-hmm. She's young, she's bubbly, and she's just like energetic, and she's just like cute. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is something that she had the space to be in. You know what I mean? Like, she was allowed to just be like a fun, cute, young-ass, talented-ass girl doing fun shit that everybody grows up wanting to do. Mm-hmm. Yes, she's playing a role, but also, like, oh, look at little baby Mariah.
Aww.
Like, it was just like an image or a side or, like, I don't know, I just felt like I was meeting a part of Mariah for the first time, which was, mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Also, them side ponytails, I just want to say.
Yo.
Next time y'all see me, when outside is open again, it's going to be like to my knee. It's going to be cascading over my left ear. Yes. And it's just going to be amazing.
Yes.
And I think that glitter had me convinced that she was a terrible actress.
Like the perceptions of it before.
Right. Yes. Everybody was just like, oh, the movie's so bad. It's such a bad movie. And the reasons that they gave were, it's a bad movie because it's bad. And I'm like, well, I guess the acting had to be bad because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, what else could there be? And so then when Precious came out, the story was, oh my gosh, Mariah is so ugly in this role, which she was not. She's not a bad actress. And I feel like that is a thing that, like, I would love to see Mariah Carey acting in more of everything.
Me too. I think it's something that happens when beauty is a part of your image because it's really hard for people to take you seriously as an actor or a singer or whatever. People think that you're, like, resting on your face. And mm-hmm. that's why you see a lot of times when people are taken really seriously as actresses, right? Mm-hmm. They have to ugly themselves up. Halle Berry didn't get an Oscar until she was a crackhead.
Woo! Say that word.
Nicole Kidman wears prosthetics and wigs in order to transform so that her face isn't distracting. And I feel like the same sort of dynamic is happening. People didn't take her seriously when she was supposed to be a pop star and she's supposed to be beautiful. But the moment that Lee Daniels put some overhead lighting over her.
Right.
Everyone's
they
like,
shoot
wow,
her from her side, that's not the best.
Mariah Carey. Right. She's a social
She's
worker.
Dedicated.
Exactly.
She's not just doing this because it's fun and she gets to be pretty. She's mm-hmm. serious about mm-hmm. it. And in Glitter, she was gorgeous. Mm. That's a good point. Oh. Speaking of acting, another thing that I loved about this movie, mm-hmm. the brat.
I love the brat.
Listen, she needs her flowers for so many things. Can I just take a second and say that if you have ever had a conversation about the best female rappers, first of all, if you're doing that, update your life. Rappers are rappers. It doesn't have to be like the best female rapper in the game, like mm-hmm. whatever. That's another episode. But if you've ever had a conversation about like women rappers and who's the best and the brat is not up there, you owe the brat an apology.
If only for her verse in Ladies Night.
Y'all see how these bogus niggas try not to notice the dopest bitches approaching with good intentions but focusing on their riches. If it's too hot, then get the fuck up out the kitchen. Niggas dick stay lifted when they're thinking of me.
So many words and she raps so fast and like it's creative, it's fun, it's goofy and it's silly and I'm just like, what can this woman can't do? I'll tell you what else she can do. Is act. She was so much fun to watch in this movie. I think she's pretty much, at least for me, where all the comic relief came from. And you know, absolutely. I'm always looking for the comic relief when I get to any party. I'm just like, ha! Where the class clowns at? And so this made me really curious about the brat as an actress, right? So I did a Google because Google is free. Everything in the world costs money, but Google is still there. And so she had some acting credits before Glitter. She was also apparently in Kazam.
With Shaq?
Yes.
That's the one that everybody thinks Sinbad was in, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to interview Sinbad about that. Like, yeah. How's it feel?
Yeah.
So she was in Kazam. She was also in your favorite Carmen, a hip hopper. Do you remember her in that?
Iconic. Yeah, she was like the chorus.
The chorus?
Like narrating the story along.
She was in Carmen. And she was also in some episodes of The Parenthood. You remember that sitcom?
Oh, I love that show.
Right?
TK and Zaria. Shout out to Regan Gomez Preston.
I was like, I wish my name was Zaria for the longest time. Because I was like, it's just so, it starts with a Z and she's so pretty. That's who I wanted to be. So she's done some more acting. She's done some movies here, some sitcoms there. And she is also an executive producer of the current VH1 reality show, Growing Up Hip Hop. Just saying, just maybe. Just thought I'm kicking around. Maybe. Glitter was the springboard that led to the Bratz emergence into the acting field. Maybe, I'm just saying.
Maybe. Wait, so my favorite thing about Glitter is the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is pretty good. You're right. I gotta give it to you.
No. The soundtrack to Glitter is immaculate.
Okay.
It is a love letter to New York City in the 80s. It's an homage to the sounds of that era, like funk, freestyle music, and the origins of rap. It is perfect. It is so good. And
sparking word appreciation. That was lovely. That was beautiful.
It is so good, Tracy. It's so good. Can I tell you why?
Yes, please. Please tell me why.
So Mariah came up when she was singing her demos and putting together her demos. She came up in the New York club culture, like in the 80s.
Okay.
So when she was trying to make it, she came into the city and she was waitressing and going to clubs and, you know, being young, dipping and doing it. And because it is a semi-autobiographical movie, she wanted it to reflect that time in which she was becoming Mariah Carey.
Right.
It's one of my favorite eras of music.
I will say it was really fun to hear like what Mariah today would have sounded like back then in the 80s with like all the synths. Yeah.
It was like a modern interpretation of what those sounds were. So like, for example. She has the song, I Didn't Mean to Turn You On, which is a cover of Sherelle's 1984 hit that she sang with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who ran the 80s.
Absolutely.
They had all of the songs on Janet Jackson's Control album, but they also were the ambassadors of the Minneapolis sound, which is a sound that's made famous by the late, great Prince.
R.I.P.
They also executive produced this album. So if you listen to that song, you hear Prince. Sure. You just want to dance and have fun. And then she does a song called Don't Stop, Funkin' for Jamaica, which is a cover of one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time.
Funkin' for Jamaica.
It's by Tom Brown, who's a jazz trumpeter, and Tony Smith, R.I.P. And you get textures of jazz and funk, and you get peak Mariah vocals in the movie when she breaks it down. So there's this scene where they're passing the mic around the club, right? And you hear different people rhyming, and they're all rhyming like it's 1984, so it sounds like Sugar Hill Gang.
They sure were. I'm here in the club in New York City with my friends, and we look pretty.
Exactly that.
Like Elliot Ness, I rhyme the best. I cold rip the S off of Superman's chest. Yes, yes, y'all, beat y'all.
And then Dice, who's her love interest and her producer in the movie, and is awful, hands Mariah the mic, and you just hear her wail.
Jamaica fall, that's what it was. Oh, let it get in the
Can I tell you what that scene made me think of?
What?
You remember that scene in What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yes!
Early in Tina's life. I know you love me, baby. But you never tell me so.
But my favorite song to admire for its virtuosity is a song called Lead the Way. And it has my favorite note of Mariah Carey's entire career, which has got this run, and then it's got this note that she holds for 21 seconds. Such like a testament to what a freak of nature she is in terms of like
absolutely
vocal ability.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
Exactly. And then you have the sample that broke the camel's back.
What was that?
The lead single from this album. It's a song called Lover Boy. And I mean, can you think of anything as 80s or as black as sampling Cameo's Candy?
No, not at all. There's nothing blacker, maybe, depending on who you ask, than Cameo, period, to this day.
My dad loves Cameo.
Word up. It's not a party if you don't have no Cameo.
It's everybody not a cookout that. If there's no
it's
Cameo.
It's not a family reunion at all.
But did you know that wasn't the original sample?
No. What do you, well, no. What was? What do you mean?
So, the original sample for this song was the disco classic Firecracker by Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Okay.
However, Irv Gotti told a story on Desus and Mero.
Wow, juice, tea, right? Give it.
About how Tommy Mottola heard that Mariah was gonna use that sample and rushed to have J-Lo use the sample for I'm Real. Called you on the
phone, said I'm coming through. He is so grimy. How petty.
So Mariah had to rush to get another sample at the very last minute. And this is thought to be the origin story of the I don't know her meme that has never died. Because after all of this happened, once Mariah was being interviewed by a reporter and they asked her what she thought of J-Lo. And when she replied, she just simply said, I don't know her.
Wow.
Which, when put in context, was very diplomatic.
I mean, listen. Because what I would have said, you don't want to know what I would have said. It would not have been as nice. So, the movie was not that bad. It wasn't.
I would say good.
If y'all are listening and you're still kind of iffy, listen, if I could watch the movie and find good things to say about it, then so can you. And Josh, you know what? I just want to commend you. I know that some people in your orbit, not me, can sometimes give you a hard time about opinions that they think are bad or wrong. And I just want you to know that I see this happening and you stand in it. You stand in your truth. So I do admire that in you. You're doing great. You're doing great, kid. Do you know who you remind me of, actually?
Who?
This tendency of yours to just like what you like and not like what you don't like.
Who?
The one and only Ira Madison III.
We love Ira.
Today, on this very day, he is ready to step into the back issue realm, into our universe, if you will. And I hope you will, because he has some opinions that just might shock you. Stay tuned, and we'll see after the break.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimon Liai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge, and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this
is the competition.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Ira Madison III is a TV writer and a host. His writing credits include Q-Force, Daybreak, Nikki Fresh, Black Panther, Sins of the King, which you can read and listen to on Cereal Box. And he currently is the host of Crooked Media's Keep It, which is one of my favorite things to yell at people. He has cultural commentary bylines absolutely everywhere, including The Daily Beast, GQ, MTV, and Noisy. His Twitter is just his first name. Mm. It's just at Ira, and I'm so envious. Please help me welcome to the show, Ira Madison III. How are you?
I love this little intro.
Oh, do you feel special and lauded? Because you are.
Right. We just start out our show with like, hey, it's me, I'm back.
Well, let's start this show with a little behind the scenes story that I want to tell everybody. So once upon a time, I was in LA and Ira was in LA and we were working for the same place and we had gone out and we had had a drink or two or three, I think. And what I remember most from this night is walking past this scary-ish man. He was very tall, dressed in black, had on a top hat. As a rule, I'm just like, don't fuck with people in top hats, you know, because you don't know nothing about it's where you going, where you coming from, you know? And I just remember Ira saying that he looked like the villain from The Princess and the Frog. And y'all, this man heard him, and I was like, well, we have to fight tonight. This is just great.
This is coming back to me. This is coming back to me.
Do you remember
that? I was acting a fool. He did hear us.
You were. You were acting a fool. And I was just like, wait a minute, sir. We don't live here. I can't go to this jail. But I share this story to say that you don't seem to have a difficult time letting people know how you feel or what you think, even if it's a 7 foot tall, very scary man on a street. So my question is, were you always just like so fearless, like just say what's on your mind? And if you don't like it, that's that.
I was not. So when I was in school, particularly, you know, like before I came out and, you know, like really just sort of like uncomfortable with myself and like my body and looks, et cetera. Like I was a lot more meek. Middle school, you know, like people would make fun of you and stuff. And like my initial response was then that's how I learned, you know, to be like funny and have a quick response, you know. And I did become an asshole. Mm. And then high school, I went to an all boys Jesuit high school, which was predominantly white. And so I kept that same energy, you know. So I was definitely the angry black person for a bit. And up through college, you know, and I think it slowly, slowly chipped away as, you know, I got better friends, you know, and just like really like became a person who like invited love into my life, you know, the flower petals stopped wilting in my castle, to use that metaphor. I stopped being the beast.
Exactly.
I was not expecting poetry today.
How do you know when your opinion is wrong or when everyone else is wrong? Mm.
I need to know this answer because I swear up, down, and sideways, I don't have bad opinions. Everybody else is wrong. I'm 98% sure of that, but like, just for the rest, how would I know?
Even twerking for MLK? I'm kidding.
I was twerking for General Justice, first of all. It was not just for MLK.
I was thinking about this recently, right? Because that's what you sort of think about online, you know? This idea of like someone coming in with like a really hot opinion. And a lot of times they want that attention. They want people dragging them. They want the engagement, you know? But other times it's like you could tweet something and like you could be wrong, you know? And I think it did take me a while to sort of realize moments when you're like, you know what I tweeted was shitty. Like, let me delete it. Or actually, I was misinformed about this, you know, and like, let me correct myself. But we're not conditioned to do that. And especially online, because of the echo chamber thing, you could tweet that wrong opinion, right? Mm-hmm. But the echo chamber that you've created, you'll have the likes and responses from like friends of yours and people that you follow who are like, yeah, you're right. But you don't know that they asked us wrong too.
Right. You know?
And y'all all wrong because y'all all are coming from this one particular perspective.
Mm. I love talking to people who at least sound like they've been through therapy. You are giving me some therapy vibes.
I have gotten therapy during quarantine too. Add that to the Xanax and the weed and the drinks.
I love it. I love it.
I have to ask you this question before we get into the next
one.
Do you consider yourself a lamb?
Oh, am I a lamb? Please. The memoirs of an imperfect angel.
Yes! I mean, I peeped your Spotify account and your Mariah retrospective. I might have copied it over.
Our forensic scientist, though.
This whole episode, we've been thinking a lot about Mariah Carey and Glitter. Mm. What is your opinion on the movie Glitter?
I'm so excited to hear your thoughts.
It's not a good movie, but it's not horrendous the way people tried to pretend it was. However, the soundtrack to Glitter is it.
Let's go!
The soundtrack is it.
Fire.
Let's let a DJ save my life. I didn't mean to turn you on. Come on.
Funking for Jamaica.
Yes. Lover boy. Mariah was
lover
in,
boy.
Mariah was her in bag. Her bag.
In her Prada bag.
Do you think she's a good actress?
Precious is it. She's great in Precious. Yeah, that whole seat, that is everything.
Better take your ass down to the welfare.
Yes.
Get down to the welfare.
Since you got your degree and you know every damn thing.
That was good.
Oh my God.
That was good.
Well, speaking of actors and singers, we want to play a quick game with you, and we're going to call it Keep It, the Singers Turned Movie Stars Edition.
Yes.
So what we're going to do is we are going to give you a list of some movies that singers made, right? And you tell us whether or not it's a bop or if they need to stop. Okay. Number A. First movie is Burlesque. Cher and or Christina.
Well, Cher is a bop because Cher's been in it from the jump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moonstruck, you know, Mermaids, The Client.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah. Christina, she's cute in that movie. It's a bop.
She surprised me.
I need a
Okay. Madonna and Evita.
Actually, the best work she's done, so... Yes,
wow.
That and Dick Tracy.
She was so good in Dick Tracy.
Yo, I used to have a Dick Tracy lunchbox.
Otherwise, get the Madonna off the screen. I'm not watching that.
But Evita is historical, okay? The soundtrack has got some of my right songs. Antonio Banderas.
Ooh, I love Evita.
Oh, yay.
Yeah.
See, Josh, Evita's good. Ha-ha.
Mm. Patti LuPone has something to say.
You know what? As she should.
Connell Perron.
Ava, you are there.
I've heard so much
about you.
Oh my gosh, the contour. Okay, Crossroads, Britney Spears.
Mm.
Shonda Rhimes.
You know I love Miss Britney and Miss Shonda. I actually don't like Crossroads. That is one of the slanderous things of my Britney fandom. I do not like Crossroads. Mm. I would rather watch from Justin to Kelly.
That's the next one.
Kelly Clarkson from Justin to Kelly.
She was great. Justin was not.
Jennifer Hudson in Sex and the City.
You know, I love Jennifer Hudson. She's an amazing actress. Sex and the City is just not a good movie.
Anti-black.
Anti-black was the Louis Vuitton that they gave Jay Hud in that movie.
Exactly. It was awful.
It is ugly.
Tim McGraw in The Blind Side.
I ain't seen The Blind Side.
Me either.
I refused.
It just looks real oppressive, you know?
I love you, Sandy B, but no. I love her, but sometimes she just leads you down a bad path. Like Premonition.
Or Bird Box. I'm still mad at that shit. So the moral of the story is, if you black, give your life for this white lady. And that's how the world should work.
Would I give my life for Sandra Bullock? That white lady in particular? Maybe. Sarah Michelle Gellar? Perhaps.
Who else is on this list? This is interesting.
White women that I would give my life for.
Because I ain't got none.
You know what? Miss Kelly, Kelly Clarkson. Mm. But she would never ask me to. And that's why I would.
Right.
Kylie Minogue and Street Fighter.
You know I love Miss Kylie, and she is great in Street Fighter, a movie which makes no sense.
Yo, first of all, Street Fighter is my favorite bad movie. It's like probably my second favorite movie, like of all time. And I didn't know until today that Kylie Minogue was even in that movie. Like, it just didn't register the 8,000 times that I saw it. She was good in the movie, though.
Yeah, I like her in that.
And the last one, Gwen Stefani.
The Aviator.
Oh, I love her in that movie. That's one of my favorite scenes in a Scorsese film. Her and Leo emerging from the limo, stepping on the flash bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It's like her face was made to exist in that era.
It's so funny to me that, like, you know, Gwen, who's been every culture, was best as like an ice blonde white woman, you know?
How did we let her just get away with kidnapping all them Asian children and just run around?
Because she was so good at it. The other girls are like sloppy appropriation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, she was in every country. Her passport was stamped.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that she was at her best when she was like being her authentic white woman, because my favorite Gwen Stefani video is Cool.
Yes. Well, I mean, well, she was impersonating a brunette, but.
Right. Yeah.
Impersonating a brunette. What's your most controversial or unpopular opinion? Like, what do your friends get on you about the most? Whether it's food, whether it's movies, music, like whatever.
Hmm.
It's a safe space. Don't worry. We won't tell anybody.
Y'all broadcasting this. But I've admitted this online before. I enjoyed The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, man. That makes me sad.
Ira, wasn't that like the most popular show on TV for like 10 years or something?
Yeah, but like basic.
It's bad. It's not a good show. It's not funny.
I've never watched it.
Don't do that to yourself. You are a delight.
For
Thank you
sure.
so much.
Of course. And you know it's lovely to kiki with y'all.
Thank you, Ira.
All right, so this is the part of the show where we channel the one and only Tyra Banks and we take her advice and we do our best to learn something from this. Joshua Louise.
Yes, ma'am.
Did we
learn something from this?
I learned that I love glitter even though everyone hates it. And guess what, Tracy?
Mm.
That's okay.
Mm. You know what? It is okay. And guess what I've learned?
What?
I learned that I don't even hate glitter. I thought I did, but I don't. I really don't. Also, I've learned that our guilty pleasures, they deserve some freeing. You know?
Yeah.
I say we stop using the term guilty pleasure, because why are you feeling guilty about being happy and feeling good about yourself? Why? Where's the guilt?
If you like what you like, you like what you like.
Like what you like, choose your choice, watch your shows. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have like another like very rhythmic listener. I did
but you
not
didn't.
Have
and guess
that.
What else?
What?
That's okay too.
Oh my gosh, I'm already transformed by this, like, for real.
And also, Tracy, like, is it really that shocking that when you consider all of the moving pieces, 9/11,
right,
Tommy Mottola,
true,
the media's scrutiny of her mental health,
also that
the person that would be torn down in the end of all of it was a black woman?
You know what? Y'all can't see me, but I have a Sunday morning church fan in my hand, and it is just working overtime, because ain't that it? Is that not the way? But yeah, it's okay to be proud about what makes you happy and what makes you feel good and what helps you to breathe a little bit easier, because these are things that you need to have in your life, literally to live. If you don't have any joy in your life, if you can't get them serotonins popping in your brain, you're not, your body will suffer,
well,
your mental health suffers. Like, you need things that make you feel good. Choir, come on, choir.
Preach, preacher.
GP, are you with me?
Oh, yeah. We watching glitter. We ain't going nowhere.
You know what? Back Issue is a production of Pineapple Street Studios.
This show was created and is hosted by Tracy Clayton.
And me, Josh Gwynn. Our lead producers are Josh Gwynn and Emmanuel Hapsis.
Our managing producer is John Asante.
Our senior editor is Leela Day. Special thanks to Gabrielle Young.
Our associate producer is Alexis Moore. Our executive producers are Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky.
This show features music by the one and only Don Will. You can follow him on the socials at DJ Don Will. And you can follow me on the socials at Broken McPoverty.
And you can follow me at Regarding Josh. Subscribe to this podcast wherever free podcasts are sold. Tell a friend. Mm-hmm. Tell your movie night. Mm-hmm. Bring it up in all those Zooms that you do not want to be a part of.
Just in the middle of it. Be like, yeah, TPS reports. But have you heard Back Issue, though? Have you heard it? Have you heard the good word about Back Issue?
You can use the hashtag Back Issue Podcast to talk about it on Twitter. You can follow us at Back Issue Podcast on Instagram.
Go watch Glitter and tell us what you think.
Yeah, tell us all of your opinions. We will stand by you even if they're awful.
Well, Josh will. Bye. Bye. I'm gonna stop recording. Oh, that's the wrong button.